Boston. Carlos Otero was accustomed to getting what he wanted. He believed himself to be a self-made man, starting soon after graduating Harvard with nothing more than the local communications company that his father and uncles had bequeathed him. From that small beginning, he had built the Otero Network, a news and entertainment empire that reached halfway across the solar system. And yet, Otero said to himself, this man Kell had taken over all his broadcast centers, even the one all the way out in the habitats orbiting the planet Saturn, commandeered them all to tell his tale of impending doom. Otero admired the man's daring, but feared his abilities. Standing at the floor-to-ceiling window of his office, on the top floor of Boston's tallest tower, Otero scowled unhappily at the city spread at his feet. He was a solidly built man in the prime of life, his luxuriant hair and full mustache handsomely dark, his body well-muscled. He generally won at any game he played, from golf to arm wrestling, even when he played against people who did not owe their living to him. He had a bright, flashing smile and used it often, especially with willing, eager women. But this morning he stood alone in his office, unsmiling, hands clasped behind his back, brooding over the report his head of engineering had sent him. Otero had asked his top engineer a simple question. How did this man, Kell, manage to take over all the broadcast facilities in the solar system? The answer unsettled Otero badly. We don't know, his top engineer had reported. We simply cannot determine how Kell took command of the entire Otero network and all the other broadcast facilities from Mercury to Saturn as well. That kind of power is dangerous, Otero knew. If he can step in and take over all our communications, where does that leave us? Where does that leave me? Impotent? Helpless. On the other hand, he thought, if we can somehow get Kell to work with us, for us, what a coup that would be. The Star Traveler exclusively on Otero Network. I could give him carte blanche, let him tell his story about the wave of radiation or whatever it is that's approaching us. I could make him an interplanetary media star. And his wife, an alien from another star. What a sensation I could make of her. Abruptly, Otero turned away from the window and strode to his desk. Get me Anita Halleck, he commanded his voice-activated phone. He loathed the chairwoman of the World Council. They had butted heads more than once, usually over matters of communications policy and freedom of speech. Halleck wanted to control the solar system's communications, for the good of the people, she maintained. For her own power, Otero knew. But now, this Jordan Kell, this man who has returned from the stars, he is a threat to us both. Until I can figure out how to use him against Halleck, I'll have to work with the bitch to see to it that neither Kell nor anyone else can usurp my network again. In Barcelona, Anita Halleck smiled thinly at Jordan Kell and the human-looking alien sitting beside him. You understand, of course, that it's no trivial matter to build starships and send teams out to these civilizations that you claim are endangered. Jordan nodded politely. Not trivial, but well within the capabilities of the World Council, I should think. You realize, I presume, Halleck said evenly, that our resources are already stretched close to the limit on damming the meltwater flow from Greenland. If the Gulf Stream is diverted, Western Europe's climate will become Siberian. Including the British Isles, Castiglione added, almost vindictively. Jordan nodded. Still, we must build the starships and save those alien worlds. It would be inhuman to stand by and let them die. What you don't seem to understand, said Halleck, is that we have our own problems to deal with. You can't expect us to go out on an interstellar crusade. Sitting on Aditi's other side, Castiglione added, Why the urgency? You say that the death wave won't reach their worlds for centuries. And won't reach our vicinity for 2,000 years, Halleck added. Jordan stifled the reply that immediately leapt to his mind. He refrained from telling them what he thought of their kick-the-can-down-the-road attitude. Instead, he said, I know that the World Council has worked very hard to alleviate the effects of the global climate warming. It's our number one priority, said Halleck. Yet if the world's governments had acted when the climate warming first became noticeable, nearly 300 years ago, those effects could have been prevented. There was no World Council then, Castiglione pointed out. No international government at all. But the nations of the world were warned about the climate change. Scientists organized international meetings, put out detailed reports, which were not acted upon, Halleck admitted, until it was too late. The main reason the World Council was established was to deal with the climate change and its effects. And in the meantime, coastal cities were flooded, farmlands parched, the very geography of planet Earth was drastically changed. Millions died, tens of millions were displaced. Her face grim, Halleck said, "That wasn't our fault. We have worked very hard to alleviate the effects of the global warming. It hasn't been easy. If the world's political leaders had acted when the scientists first warned of the consequences," Jordan insisted, "most of those effects could have been prevented." Castiglione got the point. "You're saying that we should act now about the problem of the death wave. We shouldn't wait, even though there's plenty of time." "Indeed," said Jordan. "There's much to be done." Focusing on Aditi, Halleck asked, "You can communicate with your people on New Earth, 8 light years away?"
8.6, Jordan muttered.
"Yes," Aditi answered. "There is a time lag of about an hour, but I can arrange for your technical experts to speak with our communications technicians, our astronomers, whoever you wish."
"And they'll answer our questions?"
Aditi nodded. "We will hold nothing back. We want to be fully cooperative."
"I see," Halleck murmured.
"How soon could we start communicating?" Castiglione asked.
"Right away, today. Now."
Halleck eased back in her plushly cushioned desk chair.
"Very well," she said. "We'll begin right now. Rudy, why don't you take Mrs. Kell to meet our communications engineers?"
Castiglione looked surprised. "Now?"
"Now," Halleck answered. "My administrative assistant in the outer office will set up the meeting for you."
With a questioning expression on his handsome face, Castiglione got to his feet, then offered his arm to Aditi.
"Come, lovely lady. We will astound some of the world's top communications experts."
Jordan pushed himself up from his chair, but Halleck said, "Please stay, Mr. Kell. We have to discuss this matter of building the starships you want."
Jordan stood uncertainly for a moment, then reached out for Aditi's hand.
"I'll see you later, dear."
Aditi smiled at him. "Later," she half whispered.
Halleck said, "She'll be perfectly all right, Mr. Kell. Rudy will take good care of her."
As Jordan sat back into his chair, he thought, "That's what I'm worried about."